I've been married 28 years, and when I changed my first diaper, my voice is hoarse already. I don't know why. I haven't been yelling at the children. I do. I didn't babysit as a teen, so I got saved in 1981, got married in June, and started Bible school and attending Bible Baptist in September. I was turning 19. So I started working in the nursery ministry there, and I had never changed a diaper until I was an adult. Now I might have been 19 or 20. I don't remember the exact year. So I've been working in the 28 years in different capacities in the nursery. And it's a lot easier for me to admit you in labor, get your epidural in, and deliver the babies than to talk today, because that would be my forte. But it's fun. It's a fun ministry. And all the kids and every picture in here is off the internet. There's nobody here in our church. My mom thought that was Isaac Huddleston. It does kind of look like him, but it's not him. So it skips on the first one. A goal I want is to put ministry, make sure we perceive nursery ministry as a ministry. So I may say that a lot of times because that's something I'm working on here. So nursery ministry is vital to your church. I can tell you how vital it is. We had 64 in the nursery last night. So if we'd had those 64 out here, it would have been noisier than when the six men or eight were reading Psalm 23. So this is my nursery verse. I'm looking now for a spot. I'm going to get a lady with one of those clings to print this. I want it on the nursery wall. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One of the ladies pointed out to me that your labor is not in vain in the Lord also works with labor and delivery. So I'll throw that in there because she's absolutely right. Our objectives are an overview of the nursery ministry here, insight into how it works, and some general information to help you either in serving in the nursery ministry or in setting one up yourself. It is a ministry of the ladies of Treasure Valley Baptist Church. I say ladies, not only the mothers, all the ladies, well, they're mothers, but of non-nursery age children. Prayer is essential, as with all ministries. This has got a mind of its own now. This ministry moves forward on its knees just like all other ministries do. It's first impressions. The church nursery may be your first point of contact with new families, and how they are greeted there makes a huge difference if they'll return and if they think your nursery is a safe place. It decreases distractions from little ones so that people can hear the gospel and respond instead of playing with a baby in front of them. Got to have some humor. There's my family circus humor there. Aspects of the nursery ministry. It is a ministry at every church service. There's only two times a year we don't have ministry or a nursery, and that is on the testimonies at Thanksgiving week and New Year's Eve. Otherwise, we have a nursery at every service. Last year for Mother's Day, we had our college and career girls do it so the ladies could have the day off. Uh-oh. That is moving ahead. My husband may have to come. It's the ministry of your women. It's a safe and secure, loving environment for our babies. And it's the point of first contact with our visitors. It's a dynamic, ever-changing ministry. It is never the same. Every time I come, it's a new adventure. Children are born. They move up the ranks to our Sunday school department and programs. Oh, I'm going to have to make that stop. All I do is push the button. I don't troubleshoot it. Volunteers are constantly changing, too. They move their nursery slots to accommodate their personal life. And sometimes changing life events, a new baby, or to work in another ministry maybe with their husbands. So Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. This is a baby in utero sucking its thumb. I do ultrasound at work. I like this kind of stuff. Can everybody see the baby there? That one's a pretty good one I found on the internet. You can see the head and the ribs, and you can see in that thumb right in the mouth there. We had quads last year, our first quads at work. These are not families, these are a set of triplets there. It's automatically moving without me touching. It's automatically just moving. Can you take that off? Yeah, come on, I'm going to talk while you play with it. These are the basic expectations of the nursery ministry. You want to pray for the nursery ministry. Arriving 15 minutes before the scheduled service time, this is an area we're really trying to work on, because I liken it to trying to go to Albertson to buy a gallon of milk and the customer's there before the cashier. So we're working on always getting those nurseries open 15 minutes before. Ladies who volunteer in there can help with the check-in process. We're trying to get all the cups marked with Sharpies, bottles, diaper bags. Changing every child and taking them potty before parents come. Tidying the room before we leave. And then reporting any concerns to the director. And being willing to work extra shifts and filling in when needed. That always comes up as an opportunity to serve. Nursery sign up. I'm going to briefly tell you in just a second, but I do have some show and tell stuff later at the break if anybody wants to see our sign up book. We have a voluntary sign up, but it is expected if you have children in the nursery that you do work in the nursery. We have two books now. One is located here at our baby nursery, and then in the other building we have our 1, 2, and 3-year-old rooms, and we have a second book there. So ladies and teens can sign up, and how this works is we have first Sunday, it has the AM service, or the Sunday school, the AM, and the PM, and then we have Wednesday night. First Sunday, second Sunday, goes all the way through the fifth. The ladies sign up, when you sign up for first Sunday, that means the first Sunday every month is the rotation. To make a change, they don't need to come and tell me, all they need to do is draw one line through, move their name somewhere else, wherever it works for them. And then the ladies in the church office, they consolidate for the bulletin these two books for us. And they do that periodically and print them up. So I do have our book here. It's a scrapbook. And that gorgeous baby is when mine was one. So if you need to look at these, if that would be helpful at the break. If a nursery worker's not able to make their slot, I'm trying to encourage people in the nursery ministry partner program to find a lady to be your partner, preferably someone that doesn't have children the same age as you and not your best friend or your sister, because you'll be out of town at the same time. And that way, if you can't work, you could always call them. If you're out of town or sick or you have a sick child, they could do your slot. You could trade with them. So we're coming about with this verbiage, and people are, oh, I've got a partner. So we're working on that. My job, so these are, we'll focus on some of the things that I do, and probably many of you do, or you, your husband as a pastor may have a nursery director or superintendent doing this for you, him. It's to oversee, organize, and problem solve all the aspects of the nursery. The buck stops here on everything. I report to pastor as he requests. Leona or Shelly call me from the church office if there's something that he wants done or not done. And then I implement those changes or actions as he deems necessary. Once in a while, I'll type up a report of kind of what's going on now. It's a ministry to not only the children, but the parents and the other nursery workers. It is a women's ministry, and a pastor would want someone to deal with all the aspects of the nursery for him, and oftentimes in a new work, that's going to be his wife, most likely. Don't take it personally when someone won't work in the nursery. You have to develop a tough skin and not be all boo-hoo or anything like that. So, coordinate the volunteers that you do have. Try not to overwork your best workers. Allow room for growth, and always strive to improve your process. Finding workers. We have the general sign up, so every mom knows that they are to sign up and work a slot in the nursery. I'm currently putting together a packet when a child's dropped off for the first time in the baby nursery. mom's going to receive a packet with basic expectations, what to put in her diaper bag, and labeling. So we're getting away from everything being labeled, so we're going to try to move forward. And Jimmy James, where is his mom? She has a tag on her diaper bag, a little keychain that's a heart. It has a picture of her child and his name on the other side. So thanks for bringing that. I'm going to use that idea. I need something on diaper bags, so I'm going to see if I can order a case of those. I ask people individually for specific jobs. I find face-to-face, I always ask them to not give me an answer now. I always ask them to pray about it and look at their other commitments and to discuss it with their husband because I don't want them overextended. Everybody here has children and families, and I don't know what ministry every lady works in. We have greeters that are at, and this is consistent, at each nursery to help with the check-in so they know what they're doing and they do it over and over. And then we have runners, and that's ladies who check on the nurseries and they run out here and we find ladies either that forgot they signed up or just because we need extra help. We work as a team. I do that role sometimes. I have faithful ladies who do it Sunday morning, Sunday school. We try to rotate through and help each other out in that capacity. If it weren't for those faithful ladies, this work would not get done, and they are so wonderful. Coordinating special events. Pastor school is one event. I had the nursery workers taking care of your kids in place 2 to 3 months ago. So we plan activities. We also take up to 4 for this. Bible activities, games, food, all of that has been coordinated with these ladies. We have special conferences, which is the night services or conferences. And what the ladies do in the church office is in the sign-up book in both of them, there is a tab that sticks out further, and that's for the conference. They put blank sheets in there for ladies, and that's been in place weeks for ladies to look ahead and to sign up for this. We also offered a preacher preached a family class that ran for about 16 weeks in January through April of 08 on a Tuesday night to facilitate those families being able to be here without having to pay babysitters and not get here due to childcare. We had childcare just like today. It went on up to like 12 years old, and we provided that with ladies as well who worked that the entire 6 months. Some challenges here or organizing the volunteer staff. Poor control. I have no control of attendance, late, and no shows. That's why every nursery, every time you walk into church, we are running around to make sure that it's covered with the ladies and the greeters and the runners and myself. Sometimes I just match workers with kids. Sometimes if it's we just combine maybe 1 and 2s or 2s and 3s, whatever we need to do. And most of our ladies are flexible to move. If we have 5 ladies in a room, we only need 2, they will move. Most will. Be calm, prepare as much as you can ahead, and be flexible. It will work out. It always does. Gotta have a fun picture. I love this one. Have fun with the kids. It is a fun ministry if you approach it from let's have fun and serve the Lord, and we get to have fun doing it. I try to encourage workers to have fun. I buy whatever they need. We have Bible stories, games. I've got a parachute. Today they're going to go outside. They're going to have little water guns, reading, crafts, age-appropriate toys, whatever we can do to make it fun and easy on the workers. I don't expect them to prepare a lesson. I have a lady that will make sheets for them to color. We have a whole box that she will go out and dispense so that they can just come and she will have that ready for them. That's her ministry. I threw this cartoon in here. I'll give you a second. I'm a very visual learner. The kids love that kind of stuff. Water guns. We also offer a complimentary CD of the message. I work in conjunction with Mrs. Erbrich in their bookstore. In the last year, we put a clipboard in every nursery, so when a lady works, all she does is write down, and she can get this CD at no cost. 2 weeks or so, I get the paper to the bookstore. Mrs. Erbrich has a nice little alphabetized box, and then she puts their name on it for them, and then they can pick that up, and it's right there in the nursery area. That's how I feel about letter writing. I don't mind writing a letter. It's the fact that everybody reads it, so it has to be proofed and proofed and proofed and proofed, and I'm a little type A with that. I want it perfect. I'm not going to read you the whole letter. I promise you, it's on several slides. It was only one letter. But occasionally, pastor may ask that we send a letter, and that goes to every adult woman in the church. And it's to encourage them in the nursery ministry, to remind them of some things. When I wrote this letter, it was after a past conference, I forget, but my lead-in was a message preached by Brother Mark Rogers, and I love the Jude 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. I led in with that to like in the nursery, to reach in the people around us. I thank them for working. I ask them to pray. I ask the ladies in the office to tell me how many people made a profession of salvation during our church services. In 07, it was 119. I put that in so that they would know they have a part in this ministry. I thank them again. I reviewed the basic guidelines. I remind them about getting a partner, the free CD, and I thank them again at the end for making a difference. Gotta have another sweet baby. 1 minute of age is my favorite age. We'll talk about check in and out now. We've touched on some of this. We have consistent greeters and runners, so familiar faces, each week. We have sign in and out sheets. I do that in Excel. Those are really nice. I pre-print them. We have pagers for all the moms. We use white bands. I do have those with me. They're just paper wristbands. We use orange to indicate allergies or any kind of medical concern that we need to be aware of. And then we have Sharpies out to write on everything if the parents don't have their name. I went to a new system here in the last year doing 3x5 index cards, and then I have card holders. I put Velcro in all the cubbies in babies. It's where we first tried this. We assigned every baby a beeper number and the same cubby every week. And that has been working out. I'm still troubleshooting ways to improve it, but that has been working out well. What I took out of the mix was my greeter. The mom had to come up and write her paragraph. The greeter was writing her paragraph on a dry erase board, and we were doing that over and over at every check-in. So I just consolidated it so it only had to be written one time. Gotta love that newborn. We have a baby nursery that's under one. We're not sticky or on exactly one, they move up. At about 10 months old, I had 20 in there. Then we start evaluating. They're walking, they're crawling. I consult moms. Then we decide if they'll go up to the one-year-old room. We do about a 3 babies to 1 worker ratio there, ladies to whole rock. Comfort. Adults only. We don't have our teens working in the baby nursery. We have a private area for moms to feed. And then we have water and trail mix in there for our pregnant moms. Now they can run in there and grab a snack. Sometimes their blood sugar's low, and our breastfeeding moms as well. God. Then we have a one-year-old room. We had 25 one-year-olds last night. We try to maintain about a 4 children to 1 worker ratio there. There's more crying in babies and ones. They have separation anxiety. We have a large area for them to walk and crawl in. Stationary walkers, age-appropriate toys and books. We let our teens help there. We just have basic Cheerios for snacks. And we have our 2s and 3s. We were having over 30 a year or so ago, and we split 2s and 3s. We've combined them back now because our 20 babies, it's heading down to 1s, and then we have more 2-year-olds. This will probably be split again next year, I'm guessing. We have about a 5 children to 1 worker ratio there is what I try to maintain. Short attention spans, we try to do little Bible stories, simple crafts, songs, play, simple snacks, and teens are so wonderful. They are so great, they're really extreme help. Baby Snuggler is something I just recently introduced, and this is for people, it tends to kind of be some of our older ladies in the church, but anyone who's unable to pick a child up from the floor, neck, back problems, hip problems, and then walk carrying them and dodging maybe toys on the floor. So I've made it open to them to be able to work. They could just sit in a chair, and we could, whoever's working there, give them the baby, pick the baby from their arms to go change the diaper. It's a great help because they can just love on those babies and help them so moms can stay in the service. And we have a couple ladies that are doing this for various reasons. It helps ladies who might otherwise not be able to work in the nursery because of those health issues. I always think of Brother Gunter here. He's the duct tape guy, so it's going to flash right into this. You notice my disclaimer? This is not our policy. Not our policy. But isn't that a fun picture? She looks very happy. But that leads us right into our legal issues. We do background checks at Treasure Valley Baptist on all people who work in any ministry with children. The nursery is no exception to that. We just don't want anyone with any legal issues there concerning children to be in our nursery. No child should be spanked or physically punished at any time. We always have two adults present in the room. We have check-in and out record keeping, reporting of any incidents. We need to be advised if there's any child abduction issues. Rarely that occurs, but sometimes there is some kind of a custody. There might be some new people or something that are in a custody battle, and it is nice to have a heads up on that so we know who to release that child to if there is some issues there legally, and we have security that we can page if we need them. I always wear a pager as well. Ladies can always page me if they need me. Got it on now. Another thing we don't do is we don't administer medications in the nursery. The risk of overdose and adverse reaction is just too high. We ask parents to assume this responsibility. There's been a lot of issues with this in the news. A lot of parents overdose children on ibuprofen, which will shut down a liver in adults as well as children. So we just let, it can be miscommunicated. Who knows what time the child, maybe dad gave the dose or something. So. And of course, any concerns to me. I tell them not even teething tablets. Another fun picture. You'll get why I put this here, but warning, may contain nuts. So we're gonna go into food allergies. We do special precautions as needed here. We use the orange bracelet. Food allergies is probably number one reason for the orange bracelet. And sometimes a parent will put a sign, do not feed me, on the child. Oop, forgot that. We usually assign a person to watch that child, so we have some accountability there. And I try not to have the allergens in the room. I think we all know, it's in the news a lot, peanuts is the number one growing allergy in America, and we actually are having peanut-free schools and all kinds of stuff like this. It's actually becoming quite a problem. Current implementation, I have 1 and 1-year-olds now, and we have a couple of kids with food allergies, but I have my consistent greeter that's there every day. We don't post a sign because people don't read signs, can't read a sign, so we actually face-to-face go, okay, we have this child today. She's got her orange bracelet on. We assign somebody to watch that child. So we don't want anybody to have to go to the ER from church. And what we've worked with her is we just put her in a high chair, give her little bag of snack from home, and then the other kids have their Cheerios. And then we have a little sweeper, and we clean up any Cheerios on the floor, and then that kiddo gets to come out and resume playing with the other kids, and it's working great. And we always consult moms anytime we're doing anything, and they have a part in this decision making. And for child safety, we're always accommodating whatever we need to. Good communication will make this happen. This, I just threw this in here because with that peanut allergy, you're going to see EpiPens. And I work with a woman who, her child is so allergic, she's going to have to homeschool her child. He cannot be exposed to peanuts at all. You can't eat peanut butter, brush your teeth, and kiss him. He'll break out in hives as big as saucers from head to toe. She can't walk in the store with him. And he goes to school next year. When her 7-year-old comes home, he has to strip all his clothes off, take a shower, and those clothes can't even go in the house. That's how severe this allergy is, and that's not the only person. They can't go anywhere without having a couple of EpiPens. They actually live in fear that his airway is going to close and he will die. So if we ever, we don't have anyone currently, but I wanted you to know what an EpiPen is because you are going to see these. It's a life-saving dose of epinephrine. You cannot page the mom or me and wait for it to come. This has to be given immediately. So if we ever have a child with that concern, we'll know and I'll train everybody. But it's like a pen and it's already all pre-measured. And I believe you can go right through the clothes. I'd have to read the insert. So you're nodding your head. Do you have work with that? Or, yeah. My husband even has an adult man friend who's just now, he's going to have to start having an EpiPen at all times. So Some of you may see that and you'll go, oh yeah, I remember about that. We'll just throw in a little safety here. Choking hazards. Balloons, I know they're fun. They are a no-no for children under six, latex. And we have had them in the nursery occasionally. As long as they're blown up and flying through the air, they're loads of fun. The trouble there is when they bite them in that little fragment, it's wet, it covers the airway. It is almost impossible to get an airway on a child who has a piece of balloon over their trach. So try to keep those out. And those little tiny, oh, I put out a general rule of thumb on a child is if they can enclose it in their hand, it's too small. Those lovely little fun rubber balls about that big, those are big no-nos. And those magnets, they came out with those magnet-like Legos. Children have actually swallowed those. Two of them stuck together in their bowel. They died of bowel obstruction. So we try not to have any magnets, especially those little swallowing ones. If they're big ones, that's fine. Basic rule of thumb, big chunky plastic toys that can be easily washed and handled. If you wash them and they hold water, I throw them away. We don't have any stuffed animals either in the nursery because they would have to be laundered all the time. I call it culling. I go through and I just throw out broken stuff or things that don't meet this criteria because things just kind of gather there. They come out of bags. So even though you may not have purchased them, they show up there. So don't be afraid to throw things away. Teens working, they are so wonderful. We don't have anyone under 18 with babies. Girls 10 and 11, they are so eager. I love them. They're always coming to me, Mrs. Potts, how old do you have to be? How old do you have to be? So I'm really open-ended with this. They can work with their moms, do it once a month so they're not out of church all the time as their mom deems that they can do it. I do ask that those younger girls be in the twos and threes, and I don't like them picking up the kids because some of them are really little, and some of those babies are really chunky, and they always pick them up, and they fall back like this. So, and we don't have minors changing diapers or assisting children to the bathroom. They're so great. They show enthusiasm. It's a great way for them to train young ladies and to work in their local church. And when we did the teen or the family class, I know one little girl about, she might have been nine, she wanted to do it because in Master Club they do service in their church, so they often come to me and I let them work in the nursery for that, to meet their badge for that. Appreciation to workers. Remember those workers. Thank you from pulpits. You'll hear that from pastor from time to time. Letters of thanks go out sometimes. Encourage the parents to express gratitude when they pick up their kids is always wonderful. Recognize their importance to the church nursery. Sometimes we have some special food events, occasional gift baskets or drawings, small giveaways. Today I'm giving away 3 Scentsy burners with a Scentsy bar. The ladies that have been here for the 3 days of the pastor's school, they're going to go on a drawing, and I've got those to give away, as well as they've had food and soda and that kind of fun stuff. I love this cartoon. If they get rough, just get in the playpen and you should escape injury. Sometimes what you might feel like. Sanitation. I say that baby's building up her immune system. Keeping the nursery clean for our babies. There's 4 main areas. Hand washing, I think that's a given. Sanitizing of toys and play surfaces. Washing of the linens, and the well baby nursery guidelines. We use 10% alcohol, just good old rubbing alcohol. We buy spray bottles. I have that here if anybody needs to see that. That's what we spray after you change a diaper. Squirt that down, quick wipe. I also sanitize the surfaces and the toys with a disinfectant. I also have that if anybody needs to know about that. It's food approved. They use it in schools. You can spray it right on surfaces, and it dries. It kills everything. I'll just throw in here, RSV lives 12 hours on a non-porous surface. So I pay more attention in babies, and on Sunday morning, I always douse everything down with that spray because we're coming back under that time frame so that we don't want anybody saying, I got RSV from the nursery. And then in one-year-olds, we don't pay as strict attention in the other rooms because those children are walking. They go to all stores. They touch everything. They're a little past that, but we do clean everything there as well. But we do sanitize. I do it in the babies, and I have a greeter who helps me, and then a darkened greeter and one-year-old sprays it down after each service, too. I avoid room freshening sprays. I know they smell great, but a lot of people have asthma. Asthma is up 300% now in America, and sensitivities to fragrance to both the children and the workers. We do only have a well baby nursery. Things that should not be in the nursery is fever. Even if you're controlling it with Tylenol, your baby's still sick. Rash, diarrhea, runny nose with colored mucus, cough, pink eye, any contagious disease. I get called out to look at rashes more than anything else. I have a little way of handling this. I ask the mom, is your baby sick? And they always tell me yes. So they answer their own question. I go, oh, then they shut me in the nursery. Basically, 24 hours symptom-free, and then they're good to come back. Or if they've been on antibiotic for 24 hours. The rationale for this, of course, is moms comfort sick babies. They do better at home like we do when we're sick, and we don't want to spread that to other babies or workers, as well as our other population out here. We have, you never know who might be doing chemo or have illnesses that make them more susceptible to diseases, so it's good that sick kids stay home and are taken care of. I love this one. I think he got rubbed with a balloon. I just threw mobile nursery in here. I actually originally made this to do at the Institute. Just for thought here, if you were starting a new work and perhaps you're renting a room, you don't have your own church or you're not doing it in your home, you might need to take all your stuff in and take it all home with you. It can be done. I myself have done this with our Reformers Unanimous. My husband directs that on a Friday night. I think he's been doing it about 3 years, and sometimes we would have other church activities and we wouldn't have access to the nursery. So we would set up a mobile nursery in a classroom in the gym. And it's easy to do. You could have a swing or a playpen. I just use leftover stuff from when my son was a baby. A little forethought and planning, it can be done. I put these would be great to purchase. They're not too expensive. They pack down the size of maybe a tent pack. Those have a changing table now. I know mine didn't 13 years ago. That would be a good thing you could take in and set up. You could take a stationary walker, a baby seat. Everything else is in that box right there. I have it all packed in that tub to show you it can be done. So, and here's what you would need. Just your basics. You need some hand sanitizer because you may not have a sink. But hand sanitizers are wonderful as long as you use your gloves. You don't actually get your hands physically dirty, that would clean and sanitize wonderfully. Baby wipes, a changing pad, the sanitizer, some toys or books. And you could do this on a short term or for a small number of babies if you had to. There, I'm done. If you have any questions, I know Mrs. Nyhart's about to talk, and I was going to hang out at the break. If anybody has any questions or if you want to see our book, feel free. And there's my email and my phone number if you want to take it with you. Don't hesitate to call. Right on time. Oh.
Right. Are we blessed or what? I'll tell you what. You know, and she has worked in the hospital. I don't know, how long have you worked at St. Al's?
17 years. I've been a nurse 21.
Yeah. And she was there when my girl had babies and my daughter-in-law had babies. So, you know, I mean, it's just been a real blessing. She's very used to babies. So that helps a lot. And she's always coming up with things that I didn't know about safety issues with babies. So that's a blessing too. But you know what? It's taken a long time for our church to develop a nursery ministry. We've always had a very good one. We always have, no matter who our nursery superintendent was in the past. I've always been happy with them. They've always worked hard. We've always had a good program, and it just seems like it gets better and better. But it takes time. And if you're young and you have a new ministry, like she said, it can still be done. You know, you just have to think about it, forethought. You're really fortunate that you're able to listen to someone like that. When we first started, we didn't start a church, but we were in a church in the country, and Boy, I'll tell you what, if the authorities would have come and looked at our nursery, they wouldn't have thought anything of it. They wouldn't have thought it was safe. They wouldn't have thought it was good at all. But, you know, you live and you learn. So, but anyway, thank you so much, Connie. She has been a godsend. Our other nursery superintendents have been a godsend. We have Sue Thomas here. She was for years and years wonderful nursery worker. Absolutely love her. Great job. So, you know, it's just, you guys all know what a major thing it is to have the babies somewhere else when they're not happy and not in your service. So, anyway, thank you so much.